I'm glad you came to church tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And I want you to get your Bible out, if you will. And I want you to turn to, let me tell you, let's go to Judges chapter number 7. Judges chapter 7. Folks, let me tell you something. Your pastor is a delightful man, and I think you've already discovered that. You won't find a more sincere man than Greg Nash. And I don't mean this in any way except for a compliment. He is every bit a Bible scholar. He knows the Bible. And thank God for the practicality that he adds to that scholarly way. And it's hard to beat Greg and Teresa Nash. And so I just love them and thank God for them. Judges chapter number 7. Would you all do me a favor? Would you stand with me? I like to stand when we read the Bible. We do that out of respect to the Bible and also just give you a little break right before we need to set for the next 3 hours while I preach this sermon. You laugh not. Now you'll be crying later. Judges chapter 7. Look at verse number 16. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all they that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpeters in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. I call the sermon tonight, a trumpet in every man's hand. A trumpet in every man's hand. Let's pray. Father, we certainly need your help this evening. My personality is far from enough. Our minds are far from enough. Tonight, we preach from the only book you ever wrote. Because you're the author, you know best how it ought to be presented. So, Lord, tonight I surrender my mind and my voice to you. Father, may we surrender our ears to you. May our perceptions be Holy Spirit-led. God, minimize the interruptions, maximize the attention. And may we tonight leave this place knowing that we have met with the Lord. God, challenge us, change us, move us, break us, do something that causes us to make a difference. You've left us here for a reason. Might we find that reason and fulfill it? Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Help us to do our part. Meet with us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you really care about your church tonight, I hope you will listen to me. I want to remind you of this. Oh, it's a famous story, the story of Gideon and his defeat of the Amalekites and the Midianites. The enemy's army were many, and that's what's happening here. Gideon's army is about to face the enemy's army. And the enemy's army, there were a lot of them. And when I say many of them, or I say a lot of them, listen to what Judges 7:12 says. It says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. You understand, their camels, they couldn't even number their camels. Now, we're talking about at some point, probably mode of transportation, and you not only had people that would ride horses or camels, you had all the footmen, and here it says there were so many of them, they looked like grasshoppers. That's how many people there were that were the enemy of Gideon. And then God looks at Gideon and he says, Gideon, you've got some thousands of men. Now the enemy had them outnumbered outrageously. I could not tell you how many times, but maybe 100 times over, they were already outnumbered. And God looked at Gideon and said, now Gideon, you have too many soldiers. Now, I got to tell you something. When you're going to battle, usually it's not a problem having too many soldiers. That's kind of how you want it to be. But God doesn't always use man's techniques when it comes to fighting battles. So here Gideon is. He's already outnumbered maybe 100 times over. And God comes along and says, Gideon, you've got too many men. And I won't go through the process because he put the Gideon's army through a couple of processes to eliminate some of them. But he tried one process and whittled it down, and then he tried another process and whittled the number down even further. And then finally, Gideon ended up with 300 men. And these were 300 men basically at random. The process that they went through, Gideon didn't go through and say, I'm going to keep these 300. He went through and did what God said, and God said, these are the 300 I'm giving you. And so God said, okay, you've got 300 men left. Remember, the enemy has them outnumbered. They couldn't even count all the camels, and the people were as grasshoppers. Have you ever seen for instance, you ever seen a beehive full of bees? You ever seen an ant hill full of ants? You ever seen where there's so many bugs there's just no way to count it all? All the way to the point where it even talked about the sand of the sea. Now, when God starts talking about the sand of the sea, that means it's a pretty big number to count, and God doesn't even want to take the time to count it because there are so many. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of things going on right there. And the Bible says that God said, okay, Gideon, you're going to fight the battle and you're going to use 300 men. Now, I'm glad Gideon had faith because, see, at this point, if it were me, I'd be saying, God, are you really sure you want to do it this way? But God said, Gideon, I'm going to give you 300 men. You're going to go against this unnumbered unit of enemy. And that's what we're going to do. And Gideon said to his 300 men, he said, listen, I'm going to put a trumpet in every one of your hands. And he did. He then put a clay pitcher in every man's hand, and inside that pitcher there was a light. Gideon said to his 300 men, he said, what you're going to do is you just follow me and you do what I do. He posted these 300 men on the mountains surrounding the enemy. The enemy was in the valley. And there you've got those 300 men, and they've got the millions surrounded. Still a pretty pathetic comparison going on here. And Gideon just said, men, you do what I tell you. You do what I do. And Gideon blew his trumpet. The 300 men blew their trumpets. Gideon smashed his pitcher, and the 300 men smashed their pitchers, leaving only the light then showing. They held their trumpets in their right hands and the lamp or the light in their left hand, the Bible says. And then Gideon cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they all cried, the 300 men, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now the Bible said that they blew their trumpet again, according to Judges chapter 7, verse 22. The Midianites woke up and panicked. They thought they were surrounded and outnumbered. Now remember, there's only 300 men up there on the mountaintop, and so many people in the valley, you can't even count them all. Now, Gideon has done what he's going to do, and the enemy, they hear this trumpet sound, and they hear the clash of the broken pitchers, and they see the lights, and they hear these men crying, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon, and the enemy wake up, and they panic. They panic. There was mass hysteria. They thought, oh my, they're coming from the mountains and we're outnumbered. And the Bible says they were so startled they started killing each other and killing themselves. You say, why would they do that? Well, that day one trumpet would have usually represented many, many thousands and thousands of men. Well, who goes around with 300 trumpeters? This must be a massive army that's up there in those hills. So, the trumpet is mentioned here, and it's kind of an incredible story. I was thinking about this. They end up winning their battle, and they did it with only 300. And so you all know, if God wants you to win a battle, you win the battle. You say, "Well, I'm a bit outnumbered." Really, you're never outnumbered when you got God on your side, because you and God make a majority. And so, folks, you say, "Boy, these are tough days in which we live." They may be, but let me tell you something: we've got God on our side, and everything's going to turn out God's way in the end. Hey, I've read the last chapter of the book, and we win. We're on the winning side. It's going to happen. You say, "I feel like we're outnumbered," but I think God kind of likes it that way, because when God wins victories, when we're outnumbered, guess who gets credit? God does.
Yes, sir.
God does.
Yes.
But an amazing thing about this whole thought here, those trumpeters, I just kept going back to it over and over again. The trumpet is mentioned 8 times in Judges chapter 7. I love the statement that's made in Judges 7:16, where it says, "And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand." That's where I get the title of the sermon tonight: a trumpet in every man's hand. A trumpet in every man's hand. You know what, folks? As the people of God, we too are to trumpet aloud the things of God. We're on this earth. We're a bit outnumbered, you know. There are a lot of lost people out there, and there are a lot of people that are caught up in so many things that are ungodly. But you know something? You and I, God has handed you and I a trumpet, and He says, just like Gideon's men, "I want you to trumpet aloud." I believe God has virtually placed an ability, if you will, or a trumpet in every Christian's hand. Now, I love this story. I was analyzing the story a little bit, and I got to tell you something. It really has nothing to do with my sermon, but it's worth telling you about, because I had a thought about this. You understand, when God put Gideon's men through the process, and they whittled it down to 300, you know that the first little group of men that were eliminated, all Gideon did was say, "If you're scared and you're one of my soldiers and you want to go home, go home." He was shocked to death. Almost everybody went home to mama. Well, Gideon didn't pick them out. The scared ones left. And then at another time, God said, "Well, take them down and let them get a drink of water out of the river. And the ones that stoop down and lap it like a dog, you're going to let those go home. But the ones that pick the water up in their hands and drink it to their face and they're watching for the enemy, those are the ones you're going to keep." Now, I really don't think Gideon thought he was going to lose 9,700 other men and go down to 300. But there were 300 left. I got to tell you something that's amazing to me about this story. Gideon hands 300 people a trumpet. And they're all going to play something. And it's going to be very soon. How in the world do you get 300 people that can play a trumpet through a process of elimination like that? Now, I don't know if they stayed up late night the night before and had a music lesson or something. But 300 people were used to play a trumpet to help overcome an unnumbered army. You know, the truth of the matter is, folks, I'm not real sure all 300 of those people already knew how to play trumpet. I just think this. I think God said, I have 300 people here. They're willing to get the job done. They're going to do what they can. They're going to do the best that they can. Some of them might have played trumpet better than others. Some of them probably took that trumpet and said, "In which end do I blow?" How in the world do you go from thousands and thousands and thousands of people and go through the process of elimination like that and end up with 300 people that know how? It's a miracle. And I think God said, "These are the 300 we're going to use. They're the ones that have remained. And now, watch what we can do." And there might have been some that knew how to play trumpet. And there were probably some others that didn't know how to play trumpet. But you know what? They got the job done. You say, "Well, what are you saying here?" God put something in their hand, and God gave them an ability, and God gave them a talent, and He said, "Let's do this thing." And they did. And it's a story that went down in history. Hey, God has placed in your hand a trumpet. God has placed in your hand some abilities. God has placed in your life some abilities. And you know what? They're just not all about you making money. God has given you some abilities. And what for? There is a victory to be won for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us, we need to pick up our trumpet, if you will, our talent, our ability, and use it for the cause of Christ. God, Gideon said, we're going to play our trumpet. Brother Hollinger, give me a shot of charge. Hey, I do not know what they played with those trumpets, but if that were it, that'd be enough to scare the britches off all them Amalekites, I'll guarantee you. 300 people playing charge. Hey, and they did charge. I love it. A trumpet in every man's hand. There's something to that. Hey, there's something to that. They got the job done. Did you know this? Did you know that God Himself is a trumpeter? The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The trump of God. Hey, you know that word trump there is talking about the trumpet of God. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's a good day to be in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Let me tell you exactly who that is. That's Jesus. Jesus. And they said, I heard a voice. It sounded like a trumpet. And it was Alpha and Omega. You know, the Alpha and the Omega, that's Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning. He will be in the end. He always has been. He always will be. That's God. And God said His voice is like a trumpet. Amen. That's phenomenal. Brother Garland's voice is like a tuba. I was sitting there and I always wonder, you know, well, Brother Garland, he always gets in here, you know, he always shows up. But you don't have to wonder. Two ways to know that he's here. You can hear him or smell him. Boy, what a voice. That trumpet, that voice. But listen, it was a great voice in Revelation chapter 1. It was a powerful voice, like an alarm. Did you know, I got to looking at this, Brother Hollinger, I found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 14, God plays a trumpet. Listen to this. It says, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and His arrow shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet. That's incredible to me. That is incredible. Gideon placed a trumpet in everybody's hand. They took that trumpet, and they blew that trumpet, and they had a great victory. And it went down in history. Not everybody knew how to play the same thing on the trumpet. Not everybody had the same talent. Not everybody had the same ability. But they all pulled together. They used what talent they had. And somehow, they pulled off a historical event where 300 men massacre maybe millions. They won a great victory. God Himself is a trumpeter. He's a trumpeter. Folks, God has placed a trumpet in your hand. You have abilities for God. You have talents for God. One of you may play your trumpet in one area better than somebody else, but wait a minute, somebody else, they have a talent in a given area, and they're a little better at that area than you are. But folks, when God builds a New Testament church, He pulls everybody together. He hands out the trumpets, and He says, here we go, folks, we're all going to make this happen. We're all going to do it. You can't sit back. Look, if God gives you a trumpet, and He tells you to play, don't lay that thing on your lap and ignore it. Use the talent God's given you. Use what God's given you. And God Himself is a trumpeter. Not only that, every soldier for God was given a trumpet in this story. It says in Judges 7:16, put a trumpet in every man's hand. All Christian soldiers are to trumpet aloud for God. Folks, let's blow our trumpet that Jesus saves. Let's blow our trumpet that the Bible is God's Word. Let's blow our trumpet that there is victory in Jesus. Let's blow that trumpet that the old time religion is the right one. Don't be silent with your trumpet. Don't do that. Listen, folks, every soldier is given a trumpet. And again, I'm telling you, every one of you have abilities. Every one of you have some talent. Every one of you have things that you could do. Hey, and if nothing else, God has given some of you the ability to learn. And that means, you say, well, Pastor, I can't play a trumpet. But we could teach you to do something, I'll guarantee you. We could teach you. The pastor could teach you. You could learn how to do whatever, Brother Nash, I'm going to promise you. Anything that needs to be done around here, sitting in these pews is somebody that either know how to do it or can be taught how to do it, because God is in the business of passing out trumpets, and God is building a great orchestra to get a job done for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every man. Yes. And that doesn't mean just masculine. It's not just men. God is virtually saying here, all of my army, and that's old and young. It's red, yellow, black, white, it's men, it's women. God said, I'll give everybody the ability to accomplish something in the church. You see, God himself is a trumpeter. And not only that, every soldier for God was given a trumpet. Play that charge for me again, will you? Why, I like that sound. I like that sound. I think I hear something like that right before I come to the pulpit every time. There's just something, you know, I could be sitting out there nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, all sweaty and not sure what's going to happen. And then I get in the pulpit and it's just almost like somebody says, charge! And I think, let's go get him. Let's go get him. Let's make something happen here. Folks, you have in your possession a trumpet. Now you're to use that trumpet. Do you know that God intended that all 300 of those men were to play their part in the trumpeting that would bring the victory that God wanted to bring? I'm going to tell you something. When you don't play your part, we minimize the victory here at the Gospel Light Baptist Church. You say, I'm not sure what my part is. Well, let's figure it out. Let's figure it out. Go to the pastor and say, Pastor, how can I get involved? What can I do? What needs to be done? And you say, well, I know what I want to do. Well, I'm glad you do, but wonder if right now that's not exactly what God would have you to do. Hey, you know what I'd do? I'd just go to the pastor and say, Pastor, whatever needs to be done, I'd be glad to do any of it. I want something to do. I just want to be a part of this thing. You see, God himself is a trumpeter. But not only that, every soldier was given a trumpet. Thirdly, may I say to any of you that preach or teach the Word of God around here, you need to trumpet out the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And so my people, their transgressions. You know, that's talking to the preacher. That verse is talking about preaching and teaching the Word of God. See, God's a trumpeter. And God gives every soldier a trumpet. And then God comes to the preacher. And God comes to the teachers of the Word of God. And he says, you trumpet the Word of God. You get it out there. You let people hear it. You make it known. That verse is talking. You know, look, God wants you to preach with some fire. Amen. With some fire. Now, I'm glad your pastor, he's a good Bible student. But don't you ever get to the point where all you do is just teach. Every once in a while, you need to stand up here, throw an ever-loving fit, raise your voice, stomp your foot. Hey, you know, some people, you might even wake them up every once in a while by doing that. Listen to me, folks. We the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God ought to be done with some, I call it snap. It ought to be done with some energy. It ought to be done with some excitement. It ought to be done with some enthusiasm. You know something? I stand tonight. I'm preaching from the only book that God ever wrote. You know something? I got to tell you. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. This last year, I surpassed 37,000 sermons that I preached in my lifetime. I was told when I was a young man, they said, you're really full of energy. You've got a lot of zeal and a lot of excitement, but you will calm down. You know something? I really have not calmed down a whole lot. I think that here today at 56 years of age, I still probably make as much noise and get as excited about the Word of God as I did 40 years ago. I'm still excited about the Word of God. Now let me tell you all something. God gave you a trumpet. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a preacher, if you preach in children's church, if you would really like to get something done, learn how to play that trumpet. Learn how to get up there and get excited. Learn how to exalt Jesus. Learn how to say something that keeps people interested. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people are bored at church. Because the preaching and teaching's boring.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You say, what are we going to do about that? Play that trumpet.
Amen.
I don't usually have people fall asleep on me when I'm preaching. They're scared to. Now, I do give people heart attacks while I'm preaching. Hey, preach and teach with conviction. Preach and teach with boldness. Preach and teach with purpose. I believe you ought to preach and teach with humility. I think you ought to preach and teach without fear. Preach when it's popular. Preach when it's unpopular. Hey, I think we ought to preach like Jesus would. I believe Jesus was set on fire of the Holy Ghost of God. I think when Jesus preached, hearts were melted. I think when Jesus spoke, He kept people's attention. And look, the Bible says that Isaiah was to cry aloud with a voice like a trumpet. And so, our great God is a trumpeter. And God said, I'm going to put into everybody's hand a trumpet. It was a talent. It was an ability. It was a way to be productive. It was a way to help get the job done. But then he comes along and he said, look, if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a teacher, you need to blow aloud. You say what needs to be said. Say it with conviction. Take the scripture and throw it out there and keep people's attention. Charge, if you will. Play that again. I like that. Hey, Sunday school teacher, it'd be a good idea before you teach your Sunday school class on Sunday morning to think about the sound that you just heard. I tell you, you get a bunch of Sunday school teachers, you get preachers, you get teachers on fire for God, you can't help but watch Sunday school classes grow. You can't help but watch ministries grow. People are not attracted to things that are paralyzed. People are attracted to energy. People are attracted to effort. Hey, and there is nothing more energetic than the Spirit of God. Nothing more powerful than the Word of God. So we need to teach and to preach and blow that trumpet for God. But not only that, we ought to learn how to praise Him with our trumpeting. The Bible says in Psalm 150, verse number 3, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Hey, you know, every one of us, we have the ability to praise the Lord. We ought to testify to others about the goodness of God. We ought to be letting people know what God's done in our life. Hey, you ought to praise God for saving you. You ought to praise God for using you. You ought to praise God for the good times in your life. You ought to praise God for the bad times in your life that God brought you through because you did see good times again. Nobody sees bad times all the time. Well, we face bad times, but God will see you through it. You got to praise Him for the good times and praise Him for the bad times and praise Him when you're up and praise Him when you're down and praise Him when everything is going well. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I are to trumpet aloud our praise for God. You know, I don't think the healers, feelers, and squealers ought to be the only ones that are praising God. Let me tell you something, folks. You ought to get out there at work and in the community. You ought to tell God. You ought to tell people about what God's doing in your church.
Amen.
Tell them what God's doing. Listen, when there are people saved here at church, you ought to go tell people that people got saved. Those of you that are Facebookers, people get saved at church, you ought to run home and get on Facebook and tell everybody about the people who got saved down at the church. And tell everybody about the people that walked the aisle and got on the altar. And I'm not telling you to put people's names out there. I'm just saying, boy, you really want to use your Facebook, right? Then why don't you tell people somebody got born again? Why don't you tell people somebody got baptized? Why don't you tell people the bus was full? Why don't you tell people we had to get out extra chairs? Why don't you tell people the Holy Ghost of God came down in our service and lit a fire and God began to do something. It was fantastic. The music was holy and right and righteous. Hey, we're all to be trumpeters.
Amen.
And we ought to be praising Him and blowing that trumpet. Praise Him. And if you will praise Him before others, they then will get the courage to praise Him as well.
Yes.
You know, when He talks about that trumpet, what's it talking about? Making noise. It's talking about it. It's sending a signal. It's talking about getting the job done. I see in the Scripture that God Himself was a trumpeter. But not only that, every soldier was given a trumpet. Whether you're young or old, you have abilities. Those abilities were not just given to you to survive this life, but it was given to you to serve your God with it. Preachers and teachers and those that instruct using the Word of God were to trumpet the truth and trumpet that righteousness. But then we're to use that trumpet to praise Him. Let people know that God is working in your behalf and in your church's behalf. You know, Brother Nash, I love my church very much. I pastor the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. I have people that come to my church, and they'll come in and I'll say, "Who invited you?" They'll say, "Well, no, kind of nobody really. I just heard some people talking." And they were so excited that they had been to the church, and they were just so excited. I just wanted to come see what was going on. You know something? Somebody in my church has been blowing their trumpet. I want them to blow their trumpet. I want them to leave church on Sunday morning and go down to McDonald's. And while they're sitting there, they're rejoicing and they're excited. Somebody walk over to them and say, "Well, what's going on with you? We just came from church. It's so good. We're going back tonight. God moved. People got saved. Lives were changed." Do you know something? If that kind of an atmosphere would leave the back doors and spread around the community, you won't know what to do with all the people. But you got to blow your trumpet.
Amen.
Blow your trumpet. You say, "Well, I'm a little reserved." You can get past that. You can get past that. The 300 people that were kept for Gideon's army, I don't see where anywhere in the Bible it said they were people of effervescent personalities. Oh no, they weren't people that got A+ in speech class in high school. They were the 300 that lasted. They were the 300 that God gave Gideon. And Gideon says, "You 300 line up here. I want to give you something we're going to win the war with." "All right, we're going to get bazookas, hand grenades, machine guns." He said, "No, trumpets." How many of you play trumpet? Probably two of them raised their hand. "But you're all getting a trumpet." "I'm not sure I can do this." "We're going to blow the trumpet. You're going to learn how. Do your best." My college president, one of my favorite sayings of his is, "Do your best and hang the rest." You know something? You just get in there and you decide you're going to do the very best that you can.
Amen.
Don't you be intimidated. God gave you a talent. God gave you an ability. God gave you, hey, if you're alive, you're alive to serve God.
Amen.
You're alive to do something for God. Find it and do it. Blow that trumpet. Not only that, God tells us that we ought to blow our trumpet, but make sure the doctrine that we promote with our trumpet is pure doctrine.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 8, it says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" An uncertain sound. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, 6, it talks about what that uncertain sound is. It's a sound. It's off. It's not what it's supposed to be. It says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, with what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or knowledge or prophesying or by doctrine?" What he was saying was, look, you're going to blow the trumpet. You blow your trumpet for the truth. And when he talked about the truth, he's talking about pure doctrine. So when you and I blow our trumpet, let's blow the trumpet and exalt pure doctrine. And folks, don't be ashamed of pure doctrine. Don't be ashamed of it. You know, there are a lot of people out there that teach you can lose your salvation. You do not have to cower when you tell someone, "I believe once you get saved, you're always saved." We call it the security of the believer. We call it eternal security. But I have watched Christians that understand the security of the believer cower in the presence of somebody that thinks they can lose their salvation. You're not a second-class citizen, folks. You've got the pure doctrine. You don't have to be afraid to say, no, when God saved me, He saved me eternally. I have eternal life. I have everlasting life. Nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I am born again. I can know that I'm saved. Don't you be ashamed when you go to blow your trumpet. You blow it for pure doctrine. Listen, I am not going to apologize for the fact that I believe the King James Bible is a word of God that was given to us, and it was given to us inspired and preserved. It's the word of God for English-speaking people. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God gave us a Bible, folks. Trumpet that Bible. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you believe the King James Bible is the word of God. Look, if we're going to trumpet, the Bible says, when you hear a trumpet, you want to make sure you hear a trumpet that sounds pure. And what it's talking about is make sure that what you're spreading around is truth. Now, that's what you want to do when you teach the Bible. That's one good reason why I would recommend to anybody in here, preachers or anybody, I'd be careful who you watch on the television to try to figure out what you're going to preach next Sunday. You watch a bunch of them wackos on the TV and you start mimicking their doctrine. Some of them are full of prunes.
Yes, sir.
They're full of prunes. You say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and so I got my lesson. I Googled it. Look, we might be better off turning your class over to Siri, baby. You better not be Googling everything you're going to teach. You better be getting into the Word of God and let God tell you. Look what the Bible says. Teach the lesson the pastor gave you where you're safe.
Amen.
Well, I've even watched preachers make this mistake, Brother Nash. They get to wanting to figure out what everybody out there is doing and what everybody believes, and so much of it is laced with false doctrine, and they get off track. Look, if I'm going to give my life and I'm going to have an outrageous number of enemies coming after me, I certainly want to give my life for the truth. I mean, if I'm going to get beat up, I want to get beat up for something worth being beat up for. I want to trumpet the truth. I want to trumpet the old time religion. So trumpet salvation by grace through faith. Trumpet separation from the world. Trumpet holiness. Trumpet love in Jesus Christ. Trumpet the virgin birth. Trumpet the resurrection. Trumpet the local New Testament Baptist church. Trumpet the real Holy Ghost. Listen, folks. You and I do not have to be ashamed of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Again, well, you can get around the charismatics and they want to start talking about the Holy Spirit. And I've watched many independent fundamental Baptists that understand the Bible cower in the presence of someone that's all mixed up about the Holy Spirit. You do not have to back down. You do not, look, trumpet the truth.
Amen.
Trumpet the truth. Trumpet the truth of obedience. Well, I think one of the most powerful teachings in the entire Bible is we just need to obey, but we ought to trumpet that. I like to hear the trumpet. And let me tell you what I like to hear. This right here. Ah, I like that. I like that. I like that. Hey, you know what? I want to trumpet the truth. I want to trumpet pure doctrine. I want to trumpet the praises of God. I want to trumpet as a preacher, and I want to work hard at getting the truth out. Every soldier had a trumpet, and every one of them had a place. Even God is a trumpeter. Now, let me tell you something. I'm almost done. Blow your trumpet quickly, folks. The Bible says there's coming a day when you'll hear the last trumpet. You'll hear the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. There's coming a day when we'll hear that trump. And that trump that's going to call us out of this mess. Can I tell you something? Between now and then, you and I, we ought to be working and working hard. We ought to be keeping people out of hell. We ought to be helping people and salvaging little boys and little girls. We ought to be wanting to see families strengthened. We ought to want to see the things of God grow. And boy, I've traveled across the nation for years. And I got to tell you, everywhere I go, I hear people say, well, you can't have revival in this day and age. Well, you're not going to see God do things in this day and age. The only reason you can't see revival in this day and age is because people are not willing. I will guarantee you the great God of the universe is the same God that was there the day of Pentecost. He's the same God that was alive when Jack Hiles was having revival. Or he's the same God that was alive having revival for a J. Frank Norris and a revival for the other greats in history. God is willing. The problem is man is not willing to pay the price. Brother Nash, you want to have revival in this city? You can have revival in this city. God wants to see people saved. Folks, there's coming a day when the last trump is going to sound. And when it does, our battle will be over. We'll be called to heaven. You know what we need to do? Between now and then, we need to be working. We need to be giving ourselves. The day is coming, folks, when you and I, we won't be able to work anymore. Did you know when we get to heaven, you can't go soul winning anymore. You won't need to. You don't have to run a bus route in heaven. It just won't happen. Won't need to. Look, you need to blow your trumpet. I think there's somebody in here. There's probably somebody in here that you need to probably come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I want to blow my trumpet. Pastor, what would it take? What do you need? And so the pastor says, I need somebody to teach Sunday school. Then you learn how to teach Sunday school. You go to the pastor and you say, Pastor, I want to help. What do you need? And the pastor said, I need a bus worker. You say, well, I want to learn how to be a bus worker. And I would even do this. I'd go to him and say, Pastor, is there anything about my life that ought to change to qualify me to be a Sunday school teacher? If you ever came to my church, you just don't walk in the back door, walk in, and me give you a Sunday school lesson and say, now you go teach. Not at all. Doesn't work that way. There are separation issues. I'll tell you why. Sunday school teachers are role models. They're put up in front of people. They ought to walk right, talk right, smell right. They ought to be a decent example. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. We're not looking for perfection, but we're looking for people that would like to clean their lives up, that would be good examples. But go to the pastor and say, Pastor, what would need to, maybe something about me needs to change. What would you have for me to do? Do you need a Sunday school teacher? Okay, I'll do it. You need a bus worker? Okay, I'll do it. Pastor, I would like to do this soul winning thing, but I'm scared to death. But could you teach me? I want to learn. You could learn it. You better blow your trumpet. You need to go and say, if the pastor said I need someone to work in the nursery, then you say, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, you go to the pastor and the pastor said I need someone to come out here and help with the grounds. Then you say, okay, I'll do it. You say, what is that? That's blowing your trumpet. Amen. That's blowing your trumpet. God has given everybody an ability. He's given everybody a talent. And if you say, I don't have a lot of talent, then God has given you the ability to learn how to do what needs to be done. You know, so many times, you watch someone, you watch Hannah play piano. She's a fantastic pianist. Just so you all understand, she wasn't born a pianist. You say, it comes natural for her. Phooey! Playing a piano does not come natural for anybody. You know what you do? You say, I want to learn to play piano. Then you make yourself set at the piano. And you do what your instructor says. And you work at it. 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 And you get frustrated. And you want to quit. And then you work at it. And then you get frustrated. And you want to quit. And then you work at it. And 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 you wonder if you're ever going to get it. And then all of a sudden it begins to come a little bit. Folks, did you know that's how almost everything works? You say, Pastor, Brother Owens, I could never stand up there and do what you're doing. I would have never dreamed in a million years I could stand up and do what I'm doing. As you can see, I work at it and I fail. And I work at it and I fail. And I work at it and I fail. And I work at it and I fail. But I'm going to keep on trying. Amen. Amen. I plan one day to preach a sermon that does not remind you of a rotten egg. I'm going to keep working at this thing, but it doesn't come natural. You watch Brother Nash and watch him. You watch him sing. Watch Brother Hollinger. Watch him play the trumpet. That doesn't come natural. God didn't just give him a talent. He works at it. He works at it. I'll promise you, Brother Bell has worked at learning to lead singing. You look at somebody that works in nursery and you say, wow, she's kind of got it together. I mean, she knows what to say. She smiles when they're being mean to her. That doesn't come natural. You work at that. You've got to work at it. Everybody here has been given some talents. You've been given a trumpet. And if nothing else, your trumpet is the ability to submit and learn. And that means you could learn what needs to be done. Hey, play that for me, will you? I would just love it if somebody would get it in their heart as a result of tonight's sermon. You'd get it in your heart. I'm going to figure out what it is that needs to be done around here, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go see the pastor. I'll go see the pastor's wife. I'm just going to ask, is there something I could do? Hey, and let me tell you something. When they give you something, don't be offended. You wanted to be the pastor. Well, you already have a pastor. You can't be the pastor. Now, so it may be that it might not be exactly what you thought, but you just need to blow your trumpet. Decide you want to do something for God. Hey, let me tell you this, and I promise you, I'm done after this. Now, I don't know how long this will take, but I'm done after this. I would recommend that you never blow retreat. I like the charge. Amen. But never blow retreat. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 20, verse 22, and he blew a trumpet and they retired from the city. It means they retreated. God doesn't want us to retreat. Say, these are hard days in which we live. Yeah, I agree. But God never told us to put our tail between our legs and run. If you look at the armor that was given to the Christian, there's armor for the front of you, but there's no armor for your back. You say, why isn't there armor for the back? Because God didn't plan for you to get a yellow streak down your back and run. He doesn't have to protect the back of the Christian that's going into the battle. And he didn't put the armor on your back because he wanted you to go forward. The story is told when Napoleon was conquering territory, had the desire to take over the world. He had trained a mighty army of men, had a young man that was his trumpeter, and they were facing a battle. When they started to go into battle, Napoleon realized that there were so many opponents, he wasn't really sure what was going to happen in this particular battle. He turned to his trumpeter and he said, blow the charge. And this kid blew the charge. Napoleon's men headed into that battle. And all of a sudden, up over a ridge, the enemy came in swarms. Napoleon knew he was going to get defeated. He just knew. He thought, I did not bring enough men for this fight. And so Napoleon, realizing he didn't want to lose all of his men, he turned to his trumpeter and he said, boy, play a retreat. The boy, hands were trembling, and he put the trumpet up to his mouth and he played charge. Napoleon looked at that kid and said, son, I told you, play a retreat. The boy started shaking and he put the trumpet up to his lips again and he blew a charge. About that time, Napoleon's men heard charge played twice. They got a bunch of energy and said, we've got recruits coming. Let's get them, boys. They tore into that massive army of opponent. And Napoleon said, play a retreat. The boy put the trumpet up and played another charge. Hours later, Napoleon's men won the battle. Napoleon said to the trumpeter, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I told you to play a retreat. And the boy said, sir, you never taught me to play a retreat. I played the only thing I knew how to play. Folks, God's not playing retreat. But Brother Owens, do you understand what's happening in our country? God's not playing retreat. Brother Owens, do you understand what's happening with the morality of our country? God's not playing retreat. So, but Brother Owens, do you understand how our school system is deteriorating? God's not playing retreat.
said, but Brother Owens, do you understand the liberalism in our country? God's not playing retreat. God doesn't have planned for the Christian to put their tail between their legs and run. Play that charge for me. Do you know how to play retreat? I wouldn't have figured you would. Matter of fact, up until today, I'd never heard retreat. I wanted to hear what retreat was. I'd never heard a retreat played before. Now I don't want to ever hear it again. You say, why? I want to go forward. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't you quit on God. Charge for God. Don't you quit on your church. Charge for your church. Don't you quit your ministry. Oh, good gravy. What I could get done for God if every time I turn around, people weren't wanting to quit. I'm going to quit the nursery. I'm going to quit the bus route. I'm going to quit my Sunday school class. I'm going to quit ushering. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm not going to hire you to work for me, because if you're going to quit everything, why would I want to hire you? Listen. Don't quit. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit on your wife. Don't quit on your husband. Don't quit on your parents. Don't quit on the old time religion. Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on America. Don't quit on Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. That's what we've got to do. One day I was reading my Bible. I studied this story of Gideon. And when I seen, it said he put a trumpet in every man's hands, I thought, yeah, God's still doing that today. God gives everybody an ability to do something for God. Folks, we've just got to find it and do it. In my opinion, there are really no big shots down at the church. Do you know that when one of the toilets clogged, you know who the most important person in the church is at that moment? A plumber. Do you know when the lights go out because we trip a breaker? Do you know who the most important person is at that moment? Our electrician. Yeah? Do you know when you got 10 crying babies that could destroy a church service? You know who may be the most important person at that moment? The nursery worker with barbed wire available. You know when it's offering time? You know who might be the most important person in the church? The usher. To me, I don't think there are any big shots. God handed everybody a trumpet and said, when it's your turn to play, you play. But here's what some of you do. God's handed you ability, but you left your trumpet in the case. You're watching everybody else play theirs. You don't play yours. Well, just so you all know, we're not your orchestra. Get off your rocking chair of do nothing and quit making up excuses. Amen. Do something. You say, I'm older than what I used to be. We all are. You might not be able to do what you once could, but you can do something. Amen. You might not run as fast as you once did, but you can walk. You say, not well, then you scoot. But scoot for the Lord. Say, I don't have talent like a Brother Nash. The guy's got a lot of talent. Okay, but God didn't create you to be him. God created you to take the trumpet that he handed you and for you to blow. Hey, and I got to tell you again, I was amazed at the story. There was no way in the world all 300 of those people just automatically knew how to blow a trumpet. No, God handed them a trumpet and said, now go do what you're supposed to do. And they said, well, okay, I'll give you what I've got here. It happened to be enough. Amen. Give him what you have. Yes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I call this sermon a trumpet in every man's hand. If you're here tonight, and maybe you've been sitting on the sideline, maybe you need to get involved. Maybe you need to say, I'm not going to be on the sideline. Go to the pastor. Say, Pastor, give me something to do. Air it be big or small, hard or easy. If it's something I know how to do, fine. If I don't know how to do it, fine. I just want to do it. I want to blow my trumpet. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, Though once God has spoken to my heart, I think tonight, I believe in my heart, God has spoken to me. And I do. I want to be a trumpeter for the Lord. And He has specifically spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh yeah, lots of hands. Lots of hands. I want to be a trumpeter. I want to get the job done for God. Well, we're going to have an altar call. And what that means is, in a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. And after she begins to play, we're going to stand. You know what I wish some of you would do? I wish you'd leave your seat, come down to the front, get on your knees. And this is all you do. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? And I'm going to promise you, between you getting to the Lord and you getting to your pastor, He's going to give you something to do with your trumpet, your ability, your talent. Young people, you do the same thing. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Would you use the altar for a moment? Maybe you need to come down here and say, God, what would you have me to do? Is there something more I should do? And maybe you're scared. Maybe you say, I don't know. I don't have a lot of talent. And I'm afraid to get up in front of people. And I don't know what to do musically. Okay, I understand all that. But just come and tell the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever you want. I mean, I don't think all those people knew how to play the trumpet. I don't think they were all musically inclined. I don't think they all took music lessons. God said, take the trumpet. I'm going to show you what to do. And we're going to do something great. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to come natural. Now, I'm sure there were a couple that they were trumpeters and they were good at it. Okay. But not all of them were. In every man's hand, he placed a trumpet.